Curtis Martin is with us on Sports Byline. We're talking about his Hall of Fame NFL football career. Let me take you back to the University of Pittsburgh and the Pittsburgh area. There is something that I've always felt is that professional teams take on the personality of the environment, the city that they happen to play in. And you alluded to the love that you had for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Was it that blue-collar attitude that people have in that part of the country, in that city, that kind of crosses over to the team, that the Steelers play that way? Is that a fair statement for me to say, Curtis?
I think it is a fair statement. I just want to correct one thing. Like I say, I never really loved the Pittsburgh Steelers at all. And, you know, like I say, I never really loved football. But I do think the blue collar, I think more so than it carrying over into the team, it carries over into the fans. And I believe that the fans appreciate the players who kind of represent what that city is about. You know, that's why I think, like, guys like Hines Ward, you know, these are guys that the city will always have some type of connection to, because he's like the epitome of that blue collar. He's not the most flashy guy. He may not break all the records, but you can depend on him day in and day out.
At the University of Pittsburgh, pretty good coaching staff there. You had John Gruden, Mike McCarthy, and Marvin Lewis, all who went on to become head coaches in the National Football League, and some pretty good teammates as well with Sean Gilbert, Billy Davis, Keith Hamilton, and Anthony Dorsett Jr. Tell me a little bit about your college career.
Well, you know, in college, I was really in the phase of not wanting to play football. You know, for me, I ended up playing football because my mother wanted me to do something to stay out of the neighborhood that I grew up in, because that neighborhood is, it has one of the top, and some years it has the highest murder rate in the country. And my mother, at that time, a lot of my friends were getting into trouble, and I remember my senior year, my best friend got shot in the chest and died after he ran about 50 yards. He just collapsed. And my mother, having gone through all the things that we've gone through, you know, I lost my grandmother, who was just as close as my mother. You know, she was murdered in the very same neighborhood. You know, we had lost my aunt. You know, she was killed. And, you know, my mother just said to me one day, "Kurt, I want you to do something. I don't care what it is after school, just so that you're not around here. This is just an unhealthy, dangerous neighborhood, and I just want you to take up some of your time." And I naturally fell into football simply because my phys ed teacher was the head football coach, and he had been not begging me, but constantly asking me to play for the team for a couple of years.
One of the things that I've always heard from basketball players that grew up in the inner city and faced the same type of environment that you are talking about, Curtis, is that if you were an outstanding athlete, that some of the elements in that community that were kind of on the other side would note that person, that kid, had a great talent, and they wanted to see him get out of that element. Was it that way in your community as well, and was football kind of a protection field for Curtis Martin?
Not really, simply because I didn't really play till my senior year, so no one actually knew that I had the talent. I didn't know I had the talent. It was really my gym teacher who knew that I had the ability to do it. So no one had known that. So during my entire, you know, childhood coming up through high school, no one knew that I had that type of ability. And it wasn't until I played that year, my senior year, that we realized it.
Certainly,
so I wasn't protected. And I think there are some cases where, you know, the neighborhood kind of says, you know, we want to try to keep this person out of trouble because we see that they're the only one who can make it out of here. I didn't necessarily have that because, you know, it wasn't something that I did all my life.
Certainly one of the major influences in your professional career was Bill Parcells. Tell me about the first time you met him.
Well, I met him on the phone call initially, and he asked me if I wanted to be a New England Patriot on draft day. And, again, I remember telling him yes and then getting right off the phone and telling everyone in the room with me that I didn't really want to say yes and that I didn't want to play. And that's when my mentor said to me, "Well, Curtis, maybe this is just a vehicle that's going to enable you to do all the things that you want to do." And from that point, a light clicked on. And so fast forward to going to New York and actually meeting Parcells, I tell you one thing. You know, I grew up without a father, without even a positive male role model in my life. And Parcells was the first man that I respected in a father-like way. And even to this day, he's still someone that I consider a father figure.
When you think about his personality, the way it's portrayed, kind of single-minded, kind of gruff at times, is that something that appealed to you? Did that give you the structure that you were always looking for since you did not have a male role model in your life?
Well, you know something, when you don't have a male role model in your life, you don't actually know what to look for. You just respond to what kind of like fits your personality. And so the authority that Parcells had and combined with me realizing that I had an opportunity to change my life, I think the combination of those things, and I trusted him because he was a guy who kind of said what he meant and meant what he said. So you didn't have to second guess with Parcells, whereas I think a lot of the other rookies and young guys on the team, they took offense to Parcells' style. And they always thought Parcells had something out against them. And, you know, I remember it was a bunch of us rookies together, and a lot of them were talking about how they didn't like it here, and they didn't like how, you know, Parcells hollers and curses people out and curses them out and all that. And I said, listen, man, the guy cannot want us to fail. I mean, his objective is to win. So this is just his way of getting the best out of us. And I've always maintained that perspective. And true enough, that's all Parcells is trying to do. And that's where I think he separates himself from a lot of other coaches, because he is an expert at figuring out the right method of getting the best out of a player.
Some people and some athletes cannot succeed in New York. It can be a very brutal market for an athlete to play in, to succeed in, and even to fail in. And yet you were successful there for 8 years. Was it the balanced approach that you have talked about in this interview that allowed you to deal with the pressures and the bright spotlight that exists on an athlete in New York?
Well, you know, what I think helped me was that, listen, I knew that I wasn't just so great, you know, so I didn't have a big head and didn't have a lot of pride. I think that in a combination with the commitment and the determination that I had out there on the field. I believe the New York fans respected that. They saw that I was one of the athletes who would be willing to give everything I had to win. And, I think there's a respect. And then along with the fact that I wasn't one of these flashy guys, which I don't think necessarily anything is wrong with it, it just wasn't my style. I think that they respect the fact that I just come to work, I get my job done, I go home and get ready for the next day.
You were underrated and underappreciated. Is that a fair thing to say? And if so, did that ever bother you at all?
You know what? I don't think that it was. I think that when people say that I'm underrated, I heard one writer say that I was the most high-profile, unappreciated sports figure in New York. And the most low-key superstar, he said. And, you know, number one, I never cared about the media. I never cared about the media in the sense that I wanted the recognition and things like that. My fans, what I really appreciate about them is that it's rare that they talk about me playing on the field. They talk about my character, my integrity, my approach towards the game, and that's my reward. You know, they can tell me that I'm a great running back or something like that, and yeah, that's cool. But what really means something to me is when I see that my character has rubbed off on someone else and it has influenced them. I appreciate and respect that even more so than the performance on the field. But you cannot have the character without the performance, and that was something that I was as determined to do, is make sure that my performance matched my character.
We only have 45 seconds left. Is there a moment that's kind of etched into your mind, Curtis, during your pro career that you'll never forget?
You know, a lot of those moments are those quiet moments where you're contemplating, can I play this game? With some of the injuries that I've had, can I fight through this pain, and can I do it? And you go through it, and you succeed, you know. It's those locker room moments where you know, I was able to talk a fellow athlete out of quitting or leaving camp. You know, it's those type of moments that stick with me most.
I got to tell you, you were not only a deserving member of the Hall of Fame, the National Football League Hall of Fame, but you were also Hall of Fame off the field as well. I've always enjoyed our conversations. You are welcome here anytime, and I look forward to the next one. Thanks a lot, Curtis, and again, congratulations on the honor.
Well, thanks for having me.
Curtis Martin with us. Again, former running back, 11 seasons in the NFL. First three with the New England Patriots, 8 seasons with the Jets. And I don't think you'll ever hear an athlete talk as honestly and as completely about his career as well as his life as you just heard from Curtis Martin. We'll take a break here as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.